All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be speaking with an individual featured on One Bad Blood, which takes place on February the 11th. Very intriguing atomweight bout taking place. Lin Hachin and B. Nguyen getting out there and testing skills, and very happy to welcome B onto the show for the first time. How's your day going so far there, B?
Good, tired. Just finished my last session of the day, so time to unwind. That's always good.
Yeah, what do you tend to do to unwind and decompress, like to take the mind off fighting? Because like so much of your time is dedicated towards that pursuit. So like what do you do to, I guess, decompress and unwind from it all generally?
I really just clean, cook, and read. I do a lot of writing also, a lot of journaling. But just chill old lady stuff.
Oh, well, I'm into chill old lady stuff too, realistically, so you're speaking my language. But yeah, it kind of ties into a post I saw that you had that I thought was really cool. Just you were talking about going on like a much needed break and just seemed like revitalizing in many regards, not just physically, but spiritually, it seemed like. Like how beneficial was that break and just, I guess, getting you ready to get back competing in 2022, but even in a more general sense, just like how did that feel just on a human level, getting that, you know, bit of a break there?
It feels good. You know, the older you are, the more balance you need in your life. And also, you know, you can chase and chase. The chase is great, and you can keep chasing for so long that you don't really even see what's going on anymore. So you need to take a step back sometimes and get a greater perspective. And I did just that, and I feel good now.
Yeah, and what about, like, what were you doing during that time? Were you, like, traveling a little bit? Like, what was the decompressing, getting away from it all sort of thing? Like, what was going on?
Honestly, I was decompressing. I was trying to decompress. I had a great break from fighting, but I was actually shooting two TV projects. So I was working quite hard during that time. But it was nice to not get punched and thrown around for a while.
I was going to say, like, I imagine there's certain levels of NDAs going on there, but is there any, like, details slightly, like, even teasers you can give on the TV projects, or very hush-hush right now?
It's pretty hush-hush, but I will say one of them is a pretty cool martial arts type of show, reality show, that is brand new, so no one would know what it is, for Discovery Channel coming up pretty soon. So that was fun. The other one is total hush hush, but it's been fun taking my years of experience and my knowledge elsewhere.
Yeah, and when you mentioned the TV projects, I thought that was cool because obviously you were on Survivor and, you know, the first MMA fighter to do that. So cool you're getting back into different TV projects and stuff like that. I imagine that's a cool creative endeavor, and especially with, you know, what you were talking about there being specifically oriented to martial arts and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. When you first start out, you need to be all about fighting. You need to be obsessed. But after a while, you get these plateaus, and then you get to the point where your skill level is where you have to fix just like one percenters, like a tiny part of your game. And it's really hard to see when you're so deep in it. So I think at a high level, you do need good breaks and good creative outlets.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, I mean, getting back to it in a pretty intriguing bout for sure there. So I mean, yeah, it seemed like it paid dividends and everything like that. Like, were you, I guess, how does that all work out, like when you're doing the TV projects? Like, is it like you're on set and then you go train a little bit, or like how does all that work? Is it like the pure, like, sole focus on the TV project, or
it really depends? But I was shooting in the mountains, so I did get some, it was quite physical, but no, I didn't get MMA for a whole 5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably good to, like, you know, have the total separation from it and get back to it and have the renewed vigor and everything. Like, whereabouts are you training at nowadays? Like, who are the main, I guess, sparring partners you're working with as you reintegrate into everything?
I've always done, I mean, the past couple of years, I've done my camps at Extreme Couture in Vegas. So my training partners are like Cynthia Cavillo, Kira Batara, Tiani, Viali, I think is her last name, and Casey King, so Casey O'Neill. So quite quite good good girls, and what's great for me is they're all great grapplers, and everybody knows me as a striker, but nobody knows what I can do. Well, I guess now my last fight I showcased some groundwork, so it's really helping me explore new areas of my game.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious because, I mean, obviously you were talking about the growth in the grappling in the last fight there and everything like that. So it seems like you're more so looking at it as like the journey of a martial artist, as it were. Because sometimes, like, some of the media people can be very caught up in the binary of, like, being on the right side of the winner and loser binary. But it seems like you were, you know, excited at the sense of being able to showcase the grappling there. So, yeah, that's cool. Like, who do you credit? I mean, I guess those main training partners would be the ones you credit to for the growth in that part of your game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if any fighter can represent process, it's probably me. My record doesn't reflect, you know, the fights that I've been in and the level that I fight at. So, you know, I started fighting when women didn't have any venues to fight at and barely any opponents. So I definitely pride myself in what I've seen and what I've experienced. And yeah, I do definitely credit. I travel a lot, so I credit. I'm one of those, I see fighting as an art, so I've just traveled and picked up knowledge, and so I definitely credit every single person along the way.
Yeah, that's a cool way to look at it, just the cumulative effort and stuff like that. And even talking about Extreme Couture, that almost functions in a similar regard, just in as far as facilitating so many people coming in and out, people traveling, so getting a lot of great international looks.
Yeah, definitely.
But you talk about how long you've been featured in the atomweight division and just the people you've tested skills against. I mean, really a who's who in the weight category, but it seems like it's really, you know, in like a banner sort of period right now. Like, it seems more stacked than it's ever been. Do you share in that characterization, and how exciting is it to be part of that divisional fixture at such a high level?
Oh, I love it. I love it because it doesn't leave question anymore. So when Angela was coming up, I mean, it was interesting. And that's when I started coming in. It was interesting. Even when I got into one, it was like, oh, that's interesting. Adam Waits seem okay. Because Angela wasn't fighting any competition at that point. So now the division being so stacked and so skilled, and me being part of it, I'm pretty proud of that, because now we've solidified what atomweights can do and what women can do. And for me, obviously, if you know me, more importantly, what women can do, especially in the Asian circuit. So I'm just super proud that our weight class, you know, being one of the oldest ones, I feel like as a veteran, I'm just proud of the showcase of talent.
Yeah, and just even localized on this card, the representation is really great in as far as the atomweight division there and all that. Like, Jiheen Radziwan getting back out there to fight Jenilyn Olsom and everything. So it seems like this is like a big card for shaping up the hierarchy of the division going forward this year.
Mm-hmm. It's funny when I see cards, I'm like, oh, I fought her. Oh, yeah. I fought them. They're fighting each other. I'm like, all right, so I've pretty much fought the top 10, except for, you know, me and Itsuki's had our run-ins and it never happened, but it's really interesting. I'm actually really, really interested in watching the Jenilyn and the Olsen and Jiheen fight. It's a good one.
Yo, that's what I was going to ask. Like, if you're, like, do you generally do that? Like, if there's, like, another significant divisional fight on the card, you'll kind of check it out, or is this kind of, like, bit of a first time sort of thing in that sense? Like, are you generally like hyper focused, blinders on, or do you kind of like get out there and check out some of the other relevant fights?
Oh no, if you know me, I'm maybe this is my downfall, or maybe it's whatever, but it is who I am. I'm super relaxed. I'm just having fun doing what I love. When I'm during fight week, you'll see behind the scenes videos of me cracking jokes and hanging out. So once I get the job done, I'm going to hang out and enjoy the fights, and especially enjoy watching two girls and how they fare against each other, the ones that I fought.
Is that
a great matchup too with Jiheen and Jenilyn?
Oh yeah, it's incredible for sure. Very intriguing fight in a lot of regards, and obviously, you know, Angela versus Stamp coming up a bit later in the year too. And it was fun to follow with that whole atomweight Grand Prix and stuff like that. I did think it was kind of curious you weren't involved in the atomweight Grand Prix, but that's a different subject altogether. What are your thoughts on that Angela versus Stamp fight coming up, though? It must be cool to have the lineal champ back at it.
Yeah, everybody knows I was rooting for Stamp. I was rooting for Stamp to win because I think out of the entire division, Denise would have been interesting, but I think Stamp has what it takes. But, you know, I've seen a lot of moms bounce back for some reason, just rejuvenated. Like Mackenzie Dern, she's just a monster now after her baby. And then Michelle Watterson did the same thing. So I'm interested in seeing how Angela's changed. It's kind of hard for me to even do predictions, but so far from what I've seen from Angela, Stamp is a force, and Angela has cracked a few times under pressure. So we'll see. But who knows? We might see a new Angela. I'm still rooting for Stamp, though. I'm just a fan. I mean, after sharing a war like that, you just become each other's fans, you know.
Yeah, it seemed like there was like a strong connectivity, like even in the context of the fight as you both were going to war, like it seemed like there was the appreciation from both sides for how impassioned each was and just the skill level and stuff like that. Like, is that something you tangibly feel in the moment as much as you're like very focused on the pursuit of victory? Like, do you feel that like sense of like mutual appreciation going on in a volatile environment?
Yeah, I mean, there's people that do MMA. I don't know what their reasons are, attention or money or what it is. But then there's some people who really just love fighting. And when I fight those people, I really truly enjoy it. And Stamp just loves fighting. And there were moments where my corner was like, take her down. And I'm looking back like, I can't. And her corner's like, knock her out. And she's looking back like, it's not working. So it was like, it was just so much fun. And I really respect her.
Yeah, it's cool that you have that like support for everybody in the collective, like your peers and stuff like that. That seems to resonate in a few regards there. Like I saw in November you were featured in Modern Women magazine for their latest issue at that time there and everything like that. So how cool was that to be a part of something like that? It seems like you're great at giving a voice to different women and stuff like that and being a good role model, as it were.
Yeah, I think it's just who I am. Embracing the duality, you know, I said this before in an Ariel Helwani interview about Ritu, is that she's just young, you know, and for me, I can braid her hair, I can hang out, I can be friends with Stamp, we fight again, I'm still going to try to take her head off. It's being able to compartmentalize business and personal, and for me, as a veteran and been fighting so long, I support everybody until they're standing in front of me in the cage.
So that sort of like calm, measured temperament is like more from the experience and stuff like that. Like, is it something you've had to like, yeah.
Yeah, you start to realize in this fight game, none of that helps. I've had opponents try to psych me out, sit next to me. I've had opponents talk trash. In the end, you know, this is the one sport where there is no BS. You go in there, you do what you do, and you do your best, and somebody wins and somebody loses. And, I know a lot of people say, you know, there's a lot of mental psyches and stuff like that. But for me, this is what I love about the sport. None of it matters. You go in there and you just do your best and you kick each other's ass. But outside of it, it's all unnecessary.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I can totally see where you're coming from in that regard. And yeah, I like that kind of attitude in martial arts for sure. But we're talking about the exciting nature of the fight style there. I imagine you're quite excited about one championship instantiating 50K performance bonuses there.
Yeah, I love it because, you mean, looking back at my fights, I should have gotten like 6 of them. It's kind of what I'm known for, you know, so I'm pretty excited about it. Although it's coming at a time where I'm evolving as a fighter and I'm not looking to give you exciting fights as much as I'm looking to win. So, yeah, I mean, if think about it, if it was me and Stamp's fight, we probably would have gotten it. But I'm not looking at it too much. I'm just excited the fighters are getting paid more. I think it's long overdue. But for me, the win will just be sugar enough. It'll be good enough for me.
And I was trying to figure out how to word that kind of question there. You sort of touched on it, though, in a certain regard, like how you're evolving as a fighter and how maybe the path forward isn't like pandering to whatever myopic idea of like, you know, an exciting, like just bleed kind of fight there is. Like, I was going to ask about that. Is that almost like, again, maybe a detriment in a certain regard, like having such an exciting style whereby you're facing all the killers in the division sequentially? Or is it kind of just you like it like that?
Absolutely. I've been doing favors to the promotion the fans for putting on exciting fights, but I've been letting myself down. I walk away with half the check. I walk away with losses on my records when, you know, we all know that I can do better. So for me, the growth is not fighting emotionally so much. Some people are martial artists. Some people are fighters. I'm a natural born fighter, you know. And so I'm evolving now into a martial artist and using my fight IQ a little more in my fight.
Yeah, it seems like the attitude of being a fighter has permeated throughout a lot of aspects of your life there, like even doing the backstory on like your upbringing and your childhood and stuff like that. I mean, that would certainly, you know, cultivate a very strong personality and galvanize a very strong will for sure.
Yeah, and it's really where I put my value at, and it's misplaced now that I'm older and more skilled. Like I don't have to put on exciting fights. I don't have to brawl. I don't have to do all these crazy things. I need to do myself a favor and just showcase my skill and take them out.
Yeah, and I think you have a track record at this point whereby you've endeared yourself to the fan base and stuff like that. And as you grow in your career, it seems like ONE Championship has also grown very much in a commensurate sort of way. Like, how cool has it been to, I guess, see the growth of the promotion as you yourself grow individually?
For me personally, I've had a following in America since I've been fighting, and I love it. But what's really gratifying now is the love I get in Asia, and for me, mostly in Vietnam. I've always said that I wanted to fight to where I have a platform so I could help others, and now that I'm known in Asia, it's so much easier for me to make an impact, to help these nonprofits that I work with in Vietnam and things like that. So that's the power that I've been seeking, and I'm glad that ONE's given me that opportunity to make a real difference.
Yeah, and what kind of specific projects are you working with there? I think that sounds like a really cool way to use your platform and profile there.
Yeah, I definitely, one of the biggest nonprofits I work with is in Vietnam, and they're called Saigon Children, and they build schools and offer scholarships all through grade school, college, and helps these young girls and these young boys get a job, you know, coming from families where they have to do labor or be sold off or married off, and essentially saving lives. And I love that project, and I love that nonprofit, so we've been doing a lot of work together.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an incredible pursuit there for sure. Like you said, literally saving lives. So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't think of a better way to use a platform. So, yeah, kudos to that. I just wanted to have that as part of the interview because I think that's a great altruistic effort there.
Thank you. Yeah, I think if you just doing things for yourself is very important because you have to value yourself, you know, before you can do for others. But if we just keep doing that our whole lives, they're just memories. And so I always seek to make impact because that outlasts you, you know. And I've learned too, with the record that I have, I used to be so sad about it, but now I realize, like, despite the record, I have a platform, so I might as well make it worth it and make a real difference. And that's what I'll be remembered for, I believe.
You know, it's like that saying I've heard a couple times too, the whole records are for DJs kind of adage. Like, I feel like people who know the context of your record understand, like, the people you fought and everything. So, I mean, there's certain guys like that, like Randy Couture, kind of like, just in the context of, like, people who have sort of, like, deceiving records, or, you know, Nate Diaz. I mean, could go on all day, right?
Right. Yeah, Cowboy. He's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. So many examples, just as, yeah, you said there. But talk about making an impact. You're going to be having a chance to do that really soon against someone who had quite a win streak accrued there, the 11-fight win streak, looking to rebound from their one battleground fight with Ritu Fogat there. Like, what are your main thoughts on Lin Hachin as far as, like, the, I guess, stylistic proclivities she has and just the main tools she brings to the circle?
I think that she's a counter striker, and she's long, she's tall, she's strong, but that's, like, no news to me. I think I wasn't impressed with the groundwork. I think she survived because Ritu made a few slight mistakes on the control on top. But I think if I just stay tight and take her down, I think it'll be a good night for me. And yeah, she has a great record, so it's a good it'll be a good fight for me. But I think that, again, like we said, records don't reflect. And I've only seen her fight maybe like two, three notable people. So I'm not taking that into account. I just gotta watch out for her length and her striking, and I think I'll be okay.
And just the past couple go rounds, pre-taped one championship cards. It seemed like you made the most of that situation. Obviously, kind of like a curious kind of dynamic. But what are your thoughts on this one being a live kind of go? I imagine that's probably the preferred methodology, or at the very least, the normative kind of one. So, what are your thoughts on all that there?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, the pre-taped thing is so, it takes all the excitement out of it for me. A lot of it, anyway.
Yeah.
The whole process of fighting is exciting, and it being live, and it's one of the best parts. So I'm really excited about it. Super stoked about the bonus, super stoked about the live. I think we're heading back in the good direction where we were.
Yeah, I can only imagine like how many people are hitting you up and being like, oh, tell me what happens. Like, I'm pretty good at keeping secrets. I won't say anything.
Yeah. But I was really, really good at it. So, it's always good when it's good both ways. I mean, I won, but I think it's good on her end too, of knowing when to, how to market and how to go about it, you know?
Yeah, I felt like the South China Morning Post guys were trying to make inferences from some of the people posting from the pre-taped cards. And I feel like you were the one that was like the most coy. Like, I felt like they had like the hardest time figuring out what the bout result was for those and stuff like that. So yeah, good attribute.
Yeah, I had to have a little fun with them a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what it's all about there. But in the context of, you know, having a little fun, like, do you generally like grab the aux cord when you're in the gym and put on whatever tunes you're into? Do you kind of defer to like someone else, like you're fine with whatever in the background? Like, are there certain genres you gravitate towards there, or perhaps not so much, maybe?
No, I'm literally on 10 the entire time. I'm that fighter that's like, holy shit, B's here. Everybody, B's here. I'm just having fun, making cracking jokes, dancing to whatever music, throwing the football. I'll find a football somewhere and throw it around. You know, it's just a good time. And I think, you know, like when you love what you do, it's not work anymore. I just love it. It's fun for me.
Even in like a non-training context, though, like music, not as much of a thing you go to, or is that maybe something you listen to and from practice?
Outside of training, I'm an old lady. I love neo soul, R&B.
Oh, yeah.
R&B. I love French jazz, really chill stuff. I think that my career and my my job is exciting enough. So when I'm not doing it, I just want to chill.
I was gonna say, it sounds like it's almost juxtaposing like the natural energy, like you were talking about. You step in the gym and everyone's like, oh, B's here. Like, maybe it's like tempering that a little bit, or juxtaposing it, kind of.
Yeah, for sure. I get really upset when I go into the gym and the mood is down. I start ramping everybody up like, this is not what we're doing today. Everybody wake the hell up. We're gonna get it in.
Yeah, well, I love that attitude. I'm sure there's people in the gym who really, you know, appreciate that. Like, maybe some people who, because I think that's a natural human thing, people having like lower energy days than others, but maybe they see you come through and it's like a little extra pep in their step. Like, it's like, oh yeah, it's a good attitude to have.
Yeah, I love it. It makes everything great. It makes the relationships great. It makes hitting each other a lot better.
Yeah, I love to hear that. And it's been really great getting to talk to you, B. I want to be mindful of your presumably very busy schedule, though. So to that point, is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping things up here?
No, I think that's it. I'm just excited to get back in there. And honestly, this fight, I'm promoting it less and I'm talking about it less, because this one's going to be for me. I think I've given a lot to the sport and a lot to the fans, and this one, I'm just going to go in there and do it for me, and hopefully I can perform my best.
Yeah, well, it's a return many people are excited for. I mean, anytime B Nguyen competes, I go out of my way to check that out, and I'll be getting to do that February the 11th. One bad blood taking place. Lin Ha-Chin is the opponent, and yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show, B. It was a lot of fun getting some great insights from you there, and yeah, looking forward to checking out the fight too.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.